I'd now like to introduce our next speaker. Colleen Ferlinetto is the new Disability Commissioner at the Taxi Services Commission, and she will be giving us an overview of her role and her work with the Commission. So please welcome Colleen.
Apologise in advance, I can tend to waffle. I see Felix has left the room, but he can attest to that. Firstly, thank you for inviting me to be here today. It's a great privilege and an honour to be in the role that I am, and it's a great privilege and an honour to hear from great people, and we're going to talk. Awesome. And I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians on the land in which we meet today and pay my respects to elders past, present and future, and any who may be here today. I've left my card around, and there's some information on community transport. Sorry, I didn't have anything else glossy and shiny to bring. But my contact details are, please contact me at any time. What I am not, I'm not an ombudsman, but I'm a commissioner independent of the Taxi Services Commission at the moment. While I'm a commissioner, obviously I have roles there, but I'm independent and am able to, you know, speak my mind, which is good. So I've got my clicker. Where are we up to? That'll all change. And we love change. So I think it's important that we understand who's on the commission. A lot of people say to me, well, I don't know, who's on there, what does it do? And so I will just allude to that these three amazing people that I have the privilege to be a commissioner with, I'm the new commissioner. I don't know how long you stay new for, but I'll use that excuse for as long as I can. Yehudi Blatcher is well known throughout local government, university, just a all-round very knowledgeable chap, and he's our chair. Janet Dorr, local government, past CEO of TAC. Monique Conahedi, again, just people that I just sort of sit there and, you know, have to pop my mouth closed when I'm going, oh, that's very interesting. But then I hope I bring something to the table, which I'm sure I do. But the focus of the commissioners is to, and the TSC, done a lent on me thing. This is going well, isn't it? And I'm in control of a vehicle. So the focus of the commissioners and the TSC, or next week, will be Commercial Passengers Vehicles Victoria, just to mix it up, is to make it ensure that there's an industry that is customer focused, safe, accessible and competitive. And I've already talked a little bit about myself, but obviously I'm a woman with lived experience. I can relate absolutely to nearly every point that you made about rural and regional. I'm from a rural community. I was actually the mayor of our shire, and at that particular time I wasn't able to drive due to my illness, and we're 3,000 square kilometres, one multi-purpose taxi, and if I took that out of town, I knew that someone else wasn't getting the ride that they needed to. So there should not be guilt felt on anyone to use transport, but I felt it every time that I needed to use it to get to my nearest centre, because there's no other forms of transport. So let's hope we're moving into the future, which will be more inclusive, and that doesn't just mean for metro and larger areas. I really feel very strongly that transport is a human right issue, it's not a political issue. Having said that, one has to work within a political system and work with people, so I'll talk to anybody and be anybody's friend who I need to be, and I do that with the utmost respect, because having been a councillor and in council for 8 years, I know it's pretty hard on the other side. So I just really wanted to make that really clear and really passionately. Those who don't know me know that I don't mind asking some hard questions from time to time, but I hope that I'm always as respectful as I can be. The state government is investing $25 million to improve and expand the accessible point-to-point service in Victoria. A review of the subsidies, incentives for accessible point-to-point is also underway to provide the users with improved access and reliable transport. What does that mean? Well, we don't know yet. No, I'll move on. I'm really conscious of time. So our vision, a commercial passenger vehicle industry that is customer-focused, safe, accessible and competitive. Should be able to deliver that? No problem. Yes, there we go. But I couldn't agree more that one part of a journey of someone using transport doesn't start or begin with taxis or commercial passenger vehicle or end with a train or a tram. It's the footpath connection that gets you to where you're going, or the pickup from the door, or the community transport that might be used, and the whole machinations of private transport that might be part of that journey as well. So everything is connected, and I don't think that transport, like other very important issues, but transport in particular, can be considered one mode in isolation, because it just doesn't work if you do that. And there should be partnerships. This is where I see a very positive stage that we enter, and I think it's worth just sharing this with you. Transport for Victoria's structure has only recently gone through some change, and I think it's really important because it does bring, theoretically, all these transport options into one place, really, in a way. So you can read from there, but if I could just share that the Transport Victoria is a statutory office responsible for bringing Victoria's sector and transport agencies together, including the TSC, or Commercial Passenger Vehicles Victoria, next week, to build one integrated transport network to meet the needs of users and communities, enabling simpler, quicker and safer journeys that connect places and support Victorians' prosperity and livability. How's it sounding so far? Sounding pretty impressive. Take an integrated approach that seeks to understand the user's needs while delivering the highest return on investment for the community. Over time, provide a single source of real-time information on how Victoria's integrated transport networks are operating. And that goes to the core of what we've just heard about all the feedback that had been to the recent forums. And Transport Victoria coordinates Victoria's growing transport system and plans for its future. This is a huge task. This isn't something that the government, I don't think, just woke up one morning and thought this might be a good idea. But with the authorities that you can see listed there, it just makes sense that there's one overarching body that has one minister overarching those areas, and that we're in one conversation, I think, is the ultimate goal, certainly that I foresee anyway. Just to add, like any structure in any business part or organisation or service provider, the TSC, or the Commercial Passenger Vehicles Victoria, from next week, is like that. So we have the commissioners sitting there along with the Chief Executive Officer and all the departments. But I think it's important that I would like to really say that it really surprised me how few people are actually employed in the TSC for them to do their core work that they do. That really surprised me. So for what resource they have, they do an amazing job as a regulator. And I can say that because I've seen it inside. What do? We regulate Victoria's commercial passenger vehicle industry. What does that mean? Implement Victorian government reforms to the industry. And we're about to hit the go button on that in big time. We accredit drivers, booking service providers and licensed vehicles. We administer the multi-purpose taxi program, which supports people with disability and senior Victorians. And at this point, I've just been down at a senior Victorians doing the same talk, at COTA, down at Docklands, the library. Eventually found the room, if you've ever been there. It's a bit of a journey. Anyhow, so that was... it was accessible, it was awesome. And we were talking about the membership of the multi-purpose taxi program is mostly made up of seniors, although the seniors use the least amount of the budget. So it's just an interesting thought there. And notwithstanding that, someone who is a senior can actually have a disability. We're not necessarily, you know, the intersections between that. The industry is changing. There is new legislation governing the industry, and you all know that as the Commercial Passenger Vehicle Industry Act of 2017. It's a very good read if you're up for it, but it does mark a wonderful opportunity for us in the future, because if you have an act that states that things need to occur, that makes it very difficult for it to be danced around. Since new laws took effect and the reforms began, there's been greater interest and demand for driver accreditation and vehicle licensing. It's now easier to enter the industry and provide different services to consumers. There is now more choice to improve safety and consumer protections, providing better outcomes for passengers and drivers and the community. So as of July 1, that's what we will look like, slightly different. There was, so the Taxi Services Commission will be changing its name to the Commercial Passenger Vehicles Victoria. We've put a lot of thought into keeping it as simple as possible and describing what we actually are, because Taxi Services Commission isn't relevant now in a commercial passenger vehicle playing field. We needed to be, although the term taxi may still be used, but now commercial passenger vehicles includes all vehicles that do commercial passenger vehicle passengering. A new name, new focus and new powers. In addition to the new name, we will have a new focus on safety and new regulatory powers. We will continue to work in partnership with the industry to provide better, safer and fairer services for all. And that's not easy. We acknowledge that. I acknowledge that. Fares are being deregulated and we'll monitor these, while drivers will be required to give passengers a fare estimate before the trip begins. I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. Commercial passenger vehicles providers will be able to brand their vehicles as they choose. I've had some colleagues and community, particularly with intellectual disability, say to me, but that means taxis won't be yellow anymore, or how will I know? They're going to look different. They have to be identifiable, and that's still a discussion around what size the sticker needs to be and how, where it will be placed, and who rideshare, which is your Ubers and those sort of things, what do they need to display? But the important thing to remember is that they are all now under one umbrella, and they are all now have rules and regulations and legislation, and that's so, so important. Basically, I've just popped a bunch of graphs up there, but basically the increase in commercial passenger vehicle licences has gone from September last year from 8,400 to over 45,000 in May. So we've got a lot of licences, a lot of people saying they're going to be a commercial passenger vehicle. Because it's so cheap for that to happen, how that translates into actual more vehicles is yet to be seen. So I think we just keep an eye on that. But as you can appreciate, that's gone from 8,000 to 45,000. That's a lot more people that the Commercial Passenger Vehicles Victoria has to keep an eye on. The number of hire car licences has increased to 32,000 plus in September. So that's increasing. Increased in driver accreditations from 62 to 79,000. And within that is a mix of drivers that do WAT taxis. There was initially a concern that wheelchair accessible taxis, WAT taxis, would decrease. It's actually found that that's been the opposite. Yeah, we've seen an uptake. Because if we think about it, 20% of us have a disability, not all a visual disability, and not all require assistance. And then 20% of the population is senior Victorians. So I like to embellish that figure a bit and go, well, there's 40% of the state that really need to be having a really strong voice and a strong connection to safety, affordable, reliable transport. So there's a few changes from July, so about replacing the vehicle with registration. Again, these are just words that play within the legislation around licensing, accreditation and those sort of things. But the most exciting thing for me, I think, is the introduction of a safety duties framework. And, you know, I think that those sort of things are being able to hold to account and that they're needing to be more reporting data. While the government's been very cognizant of not making the driver's experience onerous, but I'm not going to apologise if we need to make it onerous, because any business, you need to do your due diligence in what services you provide. How will these be introduced? Improved engagement with stakeholders and industry. Now, I was appointed as a disability commissioner to the Taxi Services Commission to focus on accessibility issues. So that is accessibility issues for anyone who requires any form of assistance, whether it's small amount of assistance, whether it's hearing loops, whether it's signage, whether it's priority seating, whether it's the actual wheelchair, scooters, whatever. It's my job to be making sure that I'm connecting with as many people as I can, that's including the industry as well, to have a discussion so we're all on the same page and that we're aiming for this human rights about the best that it can be. And I'm not there as a commissioner, and it's not my role anyway, but to be, you know, getting out the big stick approach and, you know, we need the partnership approach. It's a growth industry. Disability and aged or senior transport is a growth industry, and people are noting that. We already see within the commercial passenger vehicle industry now, we have Sheba, we have, you know, people, Ubers that you know, cater for certain demographics in our community, and people with a disability and seniors or people requiring some form of assistance should be no different from their front door to wherever they need to go, whether it's a long trip, a short trip, any trip. Is their right to have it in the best possible way they can. Sorry, there's a lot I want to share with you, so I'm trying. Sorry about my reading notes as well. It's the old brain drain. Okay, so accessibility related activities include the point-to-point review. This has still not been, as a regulator, as Commercial Passenger Vehicles Victoria, this is still with the Minister and the Government at the moment. This review started, I believe, 2015. There's lots of potential recommendations that can come from that, but one can't sort of start planning for that really until we know what that review is going to encompass. But it could potentially mean that there will be expanding of the MPTP program beyond taxis. So that might mean community transport, a bus that's sitting in a local hospital service. They may be able to go bang, bang with a MPTP card, so they're actually starting to cover some of that cost of that service, of a bus that's not getting used or a vehicle that's not getting used. Or what we often hear of people in rural communities who can't afford the taxi to get to Peter Mac for, you know, for an appointment, and they use community transport. The local government is, you know, and the ratepayers are really subsidising that to the hilt. There should be ways around that we can make sure that we all contribute to make sure that everybody has access and equity. So it could mean the expansion. The NDIS, that's a very tricky area. I could spend all day talking about that. But needless to say that it connects with transport for those who are fortunate enough to be able to qualify for the NDIS and or if it is going to realistically meet their needs in the first place. The State Disability Plan, so with my VDAC hat on just for a moment, as I'm privileged to be the Chair of the Victorian Disability Advisory Council, Minister Foley's Advisory Council, so it's quite nice to be able to talk to two ministers and share the message. The Disability Plan there's four pillars, and basically it's around inclusive communities, meaning I feel included. It's a human right, really. Who's going to mess around with that? Health and housing and safety, I live well. You know, it's just a no-brainer. Fairness and safety, I get a fair go. Contributing lives, I can contribute. And I just put a dot point five there as I've developed a strong connection and partnership with the Senior Victorians Commissioner, partly due to the, you know, the need that we need to be on the same page in regards to the MPTP program, and for his work that he, that is his day-to-day job of representing Senior Victorians. So travel and transport tips are available there as well. I'm working in conjunction with whoever will want to partner and listen to me talk, and we can work out a way that we can have a voice together. And we need those stories. Nothing is more effective than a story. So the MPTP program, just to give you some quick stats. I'm conscious of, I put my little timer here. Are you impressed? I'm impressed. So the MPTP program is the multi-purpose taxi program. Will that continue? Will it different? Will it be different? Will it expand? Will the caps be higher? Will that be different from a rural, remote area, more than 50%, more than, the, or no cap, or how much of a cap? All of those things have been considered, because when we look at the real data for the MPTP program, there are many people that go over and above what is meant to be their cap. And the TSC at the moment, the access team, who do an amazing job, they're like, well, we can't stop this person getting from where they need to go. This is just, you know, we're not going to say, well, you've got to your cap. But there does come a time when, particularly with the NDIS, that the state government contributes to a Commonwealth program, putting in our taxpayer dollar, which is meant to include the transport for people with who qualify in the NDIS. Now, those people are still using the MPTP program as well. And why? It's because the NDIS isn't working that effectively. And the Taxi Services Commission, this is prior to my arrival, made a decision that they would not cancel anybody's MPTP card, along with the Minister Allen, who is very, very passionate about it, and no political persuasions here, but the current government was very, very committed to go, we're not leaving anybody on the side of the road until we can sort of try to sort this out. But there does come a time when you get several years down the track and you just can't continue, especially as we approach full rollout, to have effectively the taxpayers of Victoria paying twice for one service. So we need to be very mindful that that's a legislative and a bit of a minefield when you have, you know, state and federal government and local government, to mention more, involved in the process. But the thing is, we're one community, and I'm one member of that community, and I really don't give a rat's where the money comes from. If it's my right, work it out. Find a way around that. And that's my job, is to making sure that those who can't advocate for it, that I'm at the table, hopefully getting that message across. The MPTP program has 220,000 members. At the moment, there's just under 100,000 active members. Now, what that means is I was an active member when I was taking those taxis out of town, but I'm privileged and I'm blessed that I'm now able to drive, and I live a very privileged life, and I can get in my car and get to where I want to when I want to. Mind you, my driving in the city is a bit scary, but I've got used to that, I'm used to kangaroos. So I think that we need to be, a lot of people don't realise how much and how many people are connected to that program. On average, there are more than $20,000 applications are received each year. There are 5 million MPTP trips taken last year, and a million of those were wheelchair trips. But what was most astounding to me was that the MPTP budget was $70 million. Now, I don't know, to anybody that's a lot of money. And I think for what the program does is an amazing job. What will change with the NDIS when some of those people drop off? Will it be that it's 105,000 Victorians who would have been on the MPT program? Well, we don't know, because they may not get a package. So therefore, we hope that the program will continue. That's dependent on the state to decide what the future will be, indeed. But I can't see that changing much. But we do have to think about our future. Very briefly, to touch on the lifting fees, I get asked about these a lot. So wheelchair and scooter users, I just want to put a call out, and I can say this because I'm a wheelie. There are some wheelchairs and scooters out there that, my gosh, you could make a cappuccino with them. They've got everything connected and are pretty amazing. But we need to remember that when we're getting in and around about in our community, we need to be able to be, you know, acknowledge that if we've got all our shopping, which that's the only way we can carry it, but we need to be thinking about everything else that's hanging off our chairs and the size, and this is where future of the passenger vehicles need to think about the increased size in the scooters, the increased weight of the scooter and the passenger. These are all things that contribute to quality service if we're aware of what the service is required. So that's a two-way street where we need to be making sure we're connected about what's relevant technologies that are there today. So it is covered under your MPTP membership. This is not a lifting fee that comes out of your part of your MPTP that you pay. The meter does not run while the chair is being lifted or the scooter. If it is, we need to know about it. The community are our eyes. We need to be reporting things that aren't done correctly, and this can be done confidentially, but nothing will change if we don't address if there are systemic issues out there unless we do report things. I do like to do a little bit of secret shopper myself, and it's very interesting. So currently the wheelchair fee is for accessible taxis $20, and for a partial lifting fee, which I'm trying to get some stats on as to how much that's actually used, but that's for those wheelchairs that fold up into a dime and can get popped in the back of a boot of a car, even if there is a gas cylinder in the boot and all those sort of things. So I'm not too sure how often that is used, but it's pretty good. Now, hoping I haven't lost something which I wanted to read out. Never mind, I have. Hang on, bear with me. Sorry, I tried to be really organised. Sorry, I've left it. What I'll do, I will share it. It's just a bit of a saying that is really relevant for the communities that we work in, and it's about nobody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. I don't know if anybody's ever heard it, but it's basically if we look for someone else to do something or someone else to speak up about something, well, it possibly won't happen, so we all need to do our own bit. So I'll stop now, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Colleen. So we've got a few minutes for questions. Can you please raise your hand if you have a question?
I'm Loretta Roberts. We're from Chorus in Colac, so we fit into that regional area. The $10 lifting for conventional taxis for outer suburban, urban and country zones, who monitors that $10 fee?
Yep. Well, let's just say that we know that even MPTP cards can be used in that side of the state and maybe that side of the town and all these things. The data is a wonderful thing and the cross-matching of those things. So, again, there is our really highly skilled investigators that go out there and compliance officers that go out and do those sort of things. But again, can I implore you that if anybody contacts me, I'm not the ombudsman, I'm not there to fix an issue, but if people are concerned about their privacy or want to ask a question, is this something I can report or I'm hearing this happening anecdotally, please contact us. We need to know about it. Attitudes won't change unless they're made to change. And there will always be fraud. There will always be people who will want to try to push the envelope. But one thing is for sure that as technology changes, so does the ability to catch up people. So thank you for the question. It's a really valid point, and it's something that we at the Commission are very, very mindful of and have a small team but a very, very effective team. And again, it's not about, you know, the big stick approach either. It's certainly with a lot of change. It's about counselling the person and saying, yeah, really, this is not on. And that's their job to do, not mine. But if people, please contact me and I'll make sure that your information, if you want it to be confidential, that I pass it on as my own. And, we need to hear these things. We need them reported. And as soon as possible, we need them reported, not like 2 years later. So it's really important. Thank you.
And also the partial...
Can I please have the microphone to the interpreter at the front first, please? Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Philip Waters, and I'm from DHHS. I'm just wondering about the future in regards to technological changes and so forth. So in the future, what with driverless cars, for example, or I'm just wondering, have you considered that particularly the implications in regards to, say, driverless vehicles with for people with disabilities and other community members? What's your comments on that?
Well, it's really timely because in my role in VDAC, a few of us went to Vic Roads and wanted to talk to them about their disability action plan and what were they doing. And we have a particular member on council who's particularly interested in autonomous vehicles, and he's a visually impaired gentleman. Anyhow, we went and had this great chat, and they said, oh, we're developing this autonomous project, and it's going to be around a bus service around Latrobe Uni at Bundoora. And we're like, oh, fantastic, we'd really like to know more about that when it's appropriate. So that was fine. So they said, look, it's all up and going. We'd really love you to come out. Here's a day. Here's a time. But it's not wheelchair accessible. So, of course, my vision impaired colleague thought that was hilarious, that he would be able to go on an autonomous bus and I couldn't. But absolutely, as a society, we are entering... Well, I bought a new car last week and, it's got lane departure alerts. It's got all these things that my poor old machine that I'd had for a very long time has not done, and it's a bit scary as to what technology is in the vehicles now. And this also puts us in the point of people with disabilities or senior Victorians or people with acquired brain injury or anyone, that technology can be very scary space to tread. And I can bring this back to our... there's just currently been a project on, because if the MPTB program is going to be introduced to other vehicles, do they all need to have the same meters and the same cab charge system that is there now? Is there technologies that we have now that could be done differently? So there's been a proof of concept done, and it's gone through a trial phase, and it's proving very popular, and it's about using smartphone technology, obviously, and other technologies. But we need to remember that not everybody has a technological device. And even if people do have a technological device, there's still room for fraud to be connected with that, along as we're thinking about the new trams and the new stations and the platforms we've spoken about. Autonomous vehicles, I think, definitely are closer than probably some of us are more comfortable to imagine. We look to other countries and they're doing some pretty amazing things. How that's going to affect people with disability, it is absolutely at the forefront of the industry's mind that we need to make sure that people with a disability are 20% of the population and senior Victoria, so we're 40%. We need to be considered in any technology advancement and any things that we're going to be doing differently. So absolutely, as we enter the new era of the Jetsons, who knows, we could be back here in 20 years and a very different life. So thank you.
I think there was a lady at the back who wanted to ask a question just before.
You were saying before that the lifting fee, the full lifting fee can be $20. What was the partial fee, just out of interest?
Partial fee is $10.
Last question.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi.
A question I have is around the fare estimate mm-hmm. at the start of the journey. I know some of our members have concerns about people being ripped off if they have various disabilities, particularly in, I'm thinking more of rideshare, particularly yes. in those high demand yes. times.
Absolutely, and I'm sorry, I should have probably mentioned that. So, you know, just to make life simpler, not in my opinion, but there'll be booked and unbooked services. So booked services is something that I would highly recommend, that that's with people with the MPTP program or people with disability or senior Victorians, that they actually book their service. They know what they're going to be charged. And they also know, you know, where picking up, it's by choice and all of those things, a lot more choice and control. But having choice and control should also be, in my opinion, that the rank and hail of the unbooked services. If I wanted to go, oi, Mr. Taxi, come and pick me up, I should be able to do that if I wanted to. And anybody should be able to. But in the unbooked case of taxi rank work or hail in the street, that's considered unbooked. But the Essential Services Commission is continuing to do work on there being an agreed highest level that the unbooks can charge, and that will be enforced. So there is some comfort there, but there will be room for movement. So my recommendation is for people using the program to use book services, not unbooked. But that they, as we enter into the new phase, trust me, there will be a lot of scrutineering around that and supervision, and a few people being out at 2 o'clock in the morning and checking what people are doing. So, yeah. But thank you. It's a very relevant question. Sorry I didn't mention that.
Thank you very much, Colleen. Again, a reminder, all this information will be available on our website later, as well as Colleen has left some of her cards at the front. Is that correct?
Yes.
So if you want to contact her and ask questions later, you can.